Bibles, if you would, to Book of Ruth. Book of Ruth, chapter number 3. Book of Ruth, chapter number 3. Many of you are familiar with the Book of Ruth. There are so many truths in there. But just in case you're not, let me just touch on a couple things to bring you up to the chapter where we're at. There was a family, a man, his two sons, and his wife in Israel. They were Jews in Israel. They left Israel, went down to Moab, backslidden. Famine in the land, they went down there to a place shouldn't have been. They got down there, the man, his two sons, found two girls, Orpha and Ruth, and they married the two girls. Naomi was the mother. The man Elimelech and his two sons died, leaving all three women to face life by themselves. Now you have to understand something about society back then. It wasn't easy when you didn't have a husband. The women, they didn't have Social Security to fall back on. They had no means of support. They had to go out and work. Well, when Naomi saw that her two sons and her husband had died, she thought all hope was gone. Matter of fact, she decided she would go back up into Israel. And she told her two daughter-in-laws, they were Moabites, to stay there and go on back home. She couldn't provide for them. She had no means. She was broke. She only had a piece of ground, nothing else. Those two daughter-in-laws, one of them decided she would go ahead and go back home. The other one said, I'll go where you go. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. The thing about that is, it wasn't easy for a Gentile woman, a Moabite, to go up into Israel and be accepted. A Gentile was looked upon as a dog. And so Naomi conceded and allowed Ruth to go back with her. They went back and Naomi got there and she said, the women there, of course, I don't know why women have something to say about another woman. But the women, they were criticizing her, and they were looking upon her because of how she come back. And she said, my name is Mara, because she was bitter, because she lost her husband and her sons while they were gone, had nothing left. You know the story in chapter 2, she had someone who was kin to her, and she sent Ruth out into the fields. Naomi was too old to go out into the fields, and Ruth went out and began to glean. Boaz, her kinfolk, he was a wealthy man, according to chapter 2, verse 1, he was a mighty man of wealth. He found favor with Ruth and let her continue to glean from the fields while harvest was going on, and glean extra, and told his servants to be sure and let her. But you have to understand that that harvest was coming to a close. There was not going to be much hope. Here Ruth had taken on the responsibility of trying to provide for her and her mother-in-law, and yet she's going to run out of possibilities because the harvest was coming to an end. Chapter 3, Naomi instructs Ruth. Now, this is where I want to pick up, so follow with me if you would. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now, I want to come back and deal with that little word, rest. And now is not Boaz of our kindred with those with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. In other words, He brought it in. He was going to go ahead and he was going to get the seed out of the barley, and it was time to reap the harvest. It says, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he have eaten, until he've done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and shall lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, and he went to lay down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And I want you to notice that near kinsman. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou fallest not young men, rather poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay down at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he also said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went to the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty for unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Now, if you read on in chapter 4, Boaz went and he got to the gates of the city. The man who was a near kinsman, a near closer kin to Naomi than what he was, come by. He had him sit down. He also got 10 elders and had them sit down as witnesses. And he said, Will you buy the land that Naomi's got? I'll tell you about that in just a moment. And the guy said, Yeah, I'll buy it. And I'm sure Boaz's heart sunk because he wanted Ruth. He had favor for Ruth. But then he said, You have to take Ruth, and you have to marry her and have children with her to carry out the name. And the guy said, Well, I can't afford to buy the land and afford to raise a family too. So I can't buy and purchase land as a kinsman. And so therefore, he said, You go ahead and you can buy it. And so he took his shoe off and he gave it to Boaz, and that was a sign among Israel that they had made the deal. And so the 10 elders witnessed it, and they saw what had happened. Now, and then so, if you pick it back up in verse number 13 of chapter 4, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine own age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath bored him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and began to nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, let me, those of you who doesn't understand a kinsman redeemer, let me share a couple things with you. And I want you to listen just a few moments, because there's a great truth in this. Matter of fact, you'll never understand the book of Revelation until you understand the kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer was this. In Israel, there was three things that was very close and held very, very closely. One is the family was very close, and there was certain land that was given to the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons of Israel, Jacob. And the land had to stay within those families. Now, they could get into trouble for a while, financial trouble, and sell the land. But there was a year of Jubilee. At the year of Jubilee, every 50th year, everything went back to the original owners. If you went out here and bought 10 acres off someone from the tribe of Reuben, in the year of Jubilee, it went back to the tribe of Reuben. It was given to Israel, and it was always to be theirs. As a matter of fact, the land that they're fighting over in the Middle East, God has done declared that's the land we're talking about. He's done declared each tribe where they're going to be and what they're going to have. When it's all said and done, those 12 tribes will have that land, regardless of how many people wants to obstruct it. But getting on beyond that, so Naomi had land. That's all she had. She had nothing else to trust in. And so what she was going to do is, you could sell your land to someone who was kin to you. And therefore, if they were kin, they had first option, because if someone that was of your family, of tribe, bought the land, then it stayed within the tribe, and it didn't go outside the tribe. And so whenever Ruth did this, and Naomi sent her to Boaz, she went, she was doing something, and when she would sit at Boaz's feet during the night, and if he covered her with her skirt, then that was a proposal of marriage. But it was also an indication that as kinsman, that he would redeem the land, in other words, buy it back, that Naomi had lost in her poverty. And so he told Ruth that there was someone that was closer to her, that closer kin to Naomi than he was, and so that person would have the first dabs at getting the land. But there was three things that you had to do, or three things they tried to do in the kinsman redeemer. One is, if for instance, Junior had a daughter, and he owed somebody money, and he couldn't pay her, they would take his daughter to work for them as a slave. And she would work until the debt was paid off, or until the year of Jubilee would happen, then she would be able to come back and be freed again. Now, that was important because they would go to the kinsman redeemer a lot of times, and if his daughter went over here, they would go to his brother and say, do you want to purchase her so she don't have to go into slavery? And he could do that as a kinsman redeemer. Not only that, but also if they lost land, to buy land like it was going on here, he was able to do that. And also there was one other reason they would do that. If they did not have a seed to carry out the name of the father, in this case they didn't, because Ruth and Orpah, neither one had children, and so their husbands died before they had children, so there was nobody to carry out Elimelech's name. And so what they would have to do is, the near kinsman would only have to buy the land, because Elimelech didn't have anybody carry his name, he'd have to take Ruth to bear children so that he could carry out Elimelech's name. And so when he found that out, the guy that was closest kin said, I can't afford that. So Boaz said, well, let me. And so he gave him, and he made a deal, and all the people witnessed. And so Boaz took Ruth to be a wife. He was kinsman redeemer. Now, there was three things that had to qualify a kinsman redeemer. Number one, he had to be kin. He had to be kin to the person, or he could not be the kinsman redeemer. Number two, he had to be willing to do it. Now, the closest kin was not willing to do it, but Boaz was a second closest kin. But the kinsman redeemer had to be willing to do it, purchase it back. Then number three, the kinsman redeemer had to have the ability to purchase it. In other words, had to have the wealth to do it. And of course, in chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says he was a mighty man of wealth. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, when you go in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, you find there's a book there. And you'll never understand the book of Revelation until you understand the seven seal books as he begins to open seal. Only one person was able to open the book. It was a kinsman redeemer. He had to be kin to all of us. You know how he became kin? The Bible says when John saw the book, he began to weep because no one was found worthy to open the book. In other words, there may have been people kin to us, but nobody had the ability and power and wealth to open the book. They had to buy back the earth. The earth was been sold to sin and slavery, to Satan, and so they had to have the ability and wealth to buy back the earth. Nobody was able. And the Bible said John wept. And then all of a sudden they saw a lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. He was a kinsman. He was a kinsman redeemer. How did he become kin to us? At some given time, God had already foretold that the Son of God would come and take upon him a body just like us and become our kin. He would walk upon this earth for 33 years and he would go to the cross of Calvary and he would walk on this earth, but he would be like us and kin to us with one exception. He had no sin. And he would walk up and he would offer himself as a man, kin to us, made like us and made in same shape as we are, yet without sin. He'd offer himself up as a sacrifice for the whole world.
Amen.
What he was going to do is he was going to buy back the earth, but he's going to buy us back too. We had all been sold into slavery. We'd all been sold in sin. Every one of us had sinned. And without him, there was no hope. No wonder John was weeping. And so what happened was, he was not only kin to us, he was willing. He did not go. He did not give his life because they took it. He laid it down. He come and he offered himself. The whole purpose he came was for going to the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins. And not only that, but he also had the power and ability to buy the earth back. When you read the book of Revelation, it's not hard to understand when you understand the seven seal book. The book is titled to the earth. And where Satan has had his way on the earth, he's going to be bound for 1,000 years and Jesus is going to buy it back. He's going to change things back around in this earth. He's going to do it because he has the power to do it. And in doing that as well, as our kinsman redeemer, he purchased the ability to buy us everyone out of slavery. And so every one of us who comes into him can receive eternal life. Now, I said all that to say this. When you look and you understand, Ruth didn't have much hope. The Bible says there, if you look back in chapter 3 a moment, and notice if you would in verse number 1. Says, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? The word rest is very interesting in the Bible. Has several meanings. Some places it means that you actually, you stop and you don't do any work during that time. That's not the rest here. But now don't get it wrong. Ruth was not a lazy woman. She was going out to the field working hard. She was working very hard, and she had to wear her dress to indicate in Israel, when you was in Israel, now she is Moabite in Israel, but you had to dress a certain way if you was a widow. When you went out in the field to work, you had to dress a certain way. When you was a woman looking for a husband, you dressed a certain way. When you was a virgin, you dressed a certain way. They had certain things that indicated when somebody saw you, they knew what you was. If you was a married woman, you dress a certain way. You remember when Brother Vincent was here the other day from West Africa? And I asked him, I said, why do some of your women have hats on? A lot of them had hats on. He said, every married woman has a hat on. Says when you see a woman with a hat on, another man's not go up to her and start conversation. She's taken. She's off limits. It's indicate that you stay away from that. But any girls that runs around the church, that come to church there, they didn't have a hat on, those were the ones you looked for a bride. That's who you looked to marry. And so here in Israel, they had kind of the same thing, but it was the way you were dressed. And so what happened was, Naomi said to Ruth, said, I want to find you rest. The word rest here means security. She was fixing the face. She was not only in poverty already, she was fixing a face real poverty when she wasn't able to go in Boaz's field no more. She had no means of earning a living. She had no means of providing for herself or her mother-in-law. And so her only hope was to find mercy at the kinsman redeemer. And so she told him, she said, now this is what I want you to do. First, I want you to go clean yourself up. Change your clothes. Put on a dress like a woman and not like a widow. And so they would dress as a widow as long as they were grieving for their husbands. When they quit grieving for their husbands, they put on dress indicating they were ready to be married. And they were a woman that was available. And she said, now I want you to do this. When Boaz, after he gets through working and in the threshing floor, and what they would do is they would take and they would get the grain, and they would have an ox to go across it and pull a sled across it, and it would take the grain out of the hucks, and they would pop them in the air, and they would have a fan going against them, and they'd blow the husk away. They keep popping up until they have nothing but grain left. And so that's how they would work, and they would clear that out. And she said, now after he gets through working the harvest here and reaping of the harvest, and he goes out and he eats and he drinks and he comes back and he's feeling good because of the day's finished. And he lays down and goes to sleep. Says, what you do is you go down and you get right beside his feet. And you uncover his feet. And you sit there. And of course, if he was to put his thing upon her, it would indicate that he would want to take her as wife. Well, when he woke up around midnight, he saw a woman down there. He said, who are you? She said, well, I'm Ruth. And he'd already found favor in Ruth. And so the process was that she related to him. See, she had, if you really understand this situation, she was a Moabite. The chances that she had of making it in a Jewish society was very, very slim. The chances that she had it make it as a woman was very, very slim. And so therefore, what was happening, she had no hope except she find a husband and he offered her some rest or security in herself. And so what happened was, she come recognizing that as a Moabite she was looked down upon, and she sat at his feet and he saw her. And when he found out that she requested for him to purchase her, he went to the next of kin, and I told you the story, and he ended up taking her for a wife. And by the way, they end up having a son. The amazing thing about this son is it was a grandfather of David. Imagine God bringing the bloodline of the greatest king of Israel next to Jesus down through a little woman named Ruth, a Moabite. Oh, by the way, also through Rahab, a prostitute. Isn't it marvelous that you can be nothing, in need, recognizing you have no hope, you have no future, and yet there is one that will find mercy upon you, and one that can bring you to a family of God and provide to you a home and resources that you would not have? In other words, you come to him and she came to Boaz, and what she wanted is she wanted hope for a future. She wanted to know that she would be able to survive. She wanted to know that when she met needs in her life, the rest of her life, he would be able to provide those needs. Then she wanted to know that she was going to have a home, and that home was going to be a one that would take care of her. Can I tell you this? We were in the same shape. Until we get saved, we have no hope. We are nothing more than a bunch of dogs running around, sinners. If we look, our future is very bleak. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm going to make it okay. No, you won't. Death will find you. When death finds you, hell will find you. You will not make it okay. Your future is bleak if you don't have Jesus. And there's no way you can save yourself. There's no means for you to do it for yourself. You are just like Ruth, in need of a Savior. And the only hope you've got is to come and fall at the feet of your kinsman redeemer and ask him to save you. And ask him to come and intervene for you. And the only hope you have is he. And even though you don't deserve it, and you might say, well, preacher, I'm nothing but old dog. Remember whenever the woman came wanting a help for her daughter, and Jesus said, shall I take the bread of the children of Israel and cast it to a dog? And she said, truly, Lord, of a truth, that's what I am, nothing but a dog. But you know, I'm glad that as an old dog, we can come to Jesus and we can fall at his feet and we can come and we have no hope. We have no future. We have no place to go to call home. But we can come, and he's able and willing to purchase us. And when he does, he gives us a hope. He brings rest in our soul. I don't know about you, but whenever I got convicted and God woke me up and I realized I was lost, I couldn't rest. I kept thinking, if I die, I'm going to go to hell. And boy, every time I turned around, I'm thinking, man, if I die, I'm going to hell. And I got thinking one day, why should I continue in this condition? I have no hope. And the only hope I have is in Jesus. And so what I had to do was come and fall at his feet. And I had to call upon him and say, Lord, would you just help me and save me? And not only that, he not only provided me hope when he saved me, he also told me this. He said, I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever you need, I will provide for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be provided for you. I'll take care of you. And so therefore, he promises not only that he will give me hope and I'm saved by hope, he also promises that he will make provisions and he will take care of whatever my needs are. He also promises I would have a home. I've got an eternal home waiting on me. I don't have to worry when I depart from this life to be present, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. I'm going to heaven one of these days. You say, well, what makes you think you're any better than I am? The blood of Jesus. Do you see, the only thing that separates me and you, if you're here lost this morning, is this. I came and fell at the feet of Jesus one day. And when I did, I got me a home. And you know what? I found rest for my soul. Since that day, sometimes I've been discouraged, and sometimes I've been places where I shouldn't be, and sometimes I've been alienated from God by my own actions and sins. But listen, I've had a rest that the world can't give me. There's people runs around and they spend a fortune trying to find peace. There are people that goes to drugs and tries to find the peace, that go to money and try to find, and things and try to find. But there's only one place to find a peace that passes all understanding. That peace is a rest that Naomi was talking to Ruth about. It's a security that you have. I'm glad that I can go, and my wife tell you, she said, they're giving tornadoes warning. I said, okay. Well, this is happening. I said, okay. You say, why? Because I can rest now. I found rest, but there was only one place I could find rest. Only one person able to do what I needed done.
And thank God he was willing. You say, well, preacher, I'm afraid if I come unto him, he'll cast me out. The Bible says those that come to him, I will in no wise cast out. He says, come. All he wants you to do is come. And he's willing. But you got to come and get down at his feet. And you got to call upon him. And did you notice what Boaz did? He says, I'll purchase you. He said, I'll do it. And I'll take you from my wife. And I will bear children with you. He said, but one obstacle, I've got to get by this one. And sure enough, as God would have it, he did. But you see, Jesus is the perfect kinsman redeemer. There's no one else to go through. No one else to go to. You only have one choice if you go to heaven. You got to get at the feet of Jesus. You got to come to him. He's got the power to save your soul. He's got the power to give you everlasting life. No one else has that. There's been people tried to sidestep the issue and tried to live forever. Some of the richest men in the world tried to live forever. They're dead as a doornail because it's impossible. My friend, you'll have only one hope. That's Jesus. You have only one help. That's Jesus. You have only one that can give you home in heaven. That's Jesus. You must come unto him. How about this morning? Are you saved? Maybe you're here and you're living your life without Christ. Oh, dear friend, would you like to have some rest? Maybe you're here and you say, preacher, you know, every time I turn around, I'm afraid if I die, I know where I'm going. Well, my friend, it's time that you step down, step out, and you give your heart to Christ. It's time that you come to Jesus and say, Lord, I have no hope. I have nowhere to go. I want a home in heaven if I die. He'll give it, but you got to come.